You have your Bibles this morning with you, and I trust that you do. It's always good to have them with us in the house of the Lord as we come and worship Him together. We will come back to Psalm 100. Psalm 100, we've been working on a series of this psalm, Serving the Lord. And we come back to it this morning, and at least one other Sunday, we will be back here. We're not done yet with our psalm, but let's read the psalm again. It's been a couple weeks since we were last here. It says, "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people, and the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving, and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him, and bless His name. For the Lord is good, His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endureth to all generations." Let's pray. Father, we thank You for this day. We thank You for this opportunity now in our service to come into Thy presence, to sit at Thy feet, to open our hearts to receive Your word. Father, we thank You for the ministry that the Holy Spirit does now with Your word, drawing it deep into our hearts, that as believers You are doing that sanctifying work, that drawing us into Christ's likeness, that molding and shaping us. Father, many illustrations of that in the scriptures, of the potter and the clay, an architect. Father, we thank You for the sculptor. We pray that we would be willingly recipients of Your work to see Christ formed in us. Father, for that soul that may be lost that hasn't come to Christ, may this be the day that they know Christ as their Savior, to understand that Christ died in their place for their sins, paying that penalty because they could not pay it. Their sin debt was too great. My sin debt is too great. And Christ willingly took it upon Himself, paying the debt of our sins, so that we might be able to stand in Your presence one day. May they truly know Christ, be born again this day before they leave this place. Do a work in our hearts that only You can do. Truly, may we go forth rejoicing, saying it's good to have been in Thy house. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So we come to our passage here, serving the Lord with singing and thanksgiving. As we've touched on these verses, we come to those two thoughts here as we look at this passage and realize that singing, it's not an accessory to service. It is one of God-given expression of glad service before the Lord. It is always interesting to watch us grow. And I say us, I think chronologically. If you have worked within, particularly the Christian school setting, it's always been interesting to watch the enthusiasm, unfortunately, kind of wane when it comes to singing. Growing up, of course, I wasn't in a Christian school until my last 2 years of high school. But those last 2 years being in a Christian school, something that was noteworthy, and I saw it as a teacher later on, that the elementary school kids could sing heartily, with gusto, whenever we sing Dwelling in Beulah Land. It takes me back to those days. And I can remember singing that in chapel and hearing our elementary school kids just sing that with gusto and lift up and say, "Praise God!" But not so much when it came in high school chapel. There was a great difference in who sung that and how it was sung, be it whatever the reason, and I realize, you know, I was there too. I've been a teenager. I wasn't exactly enthused in that Christian school. On Friday chapel, which was a combined chapel, both elementary and junior high school, one class would sing a special, a hymn. And that rotated through the year so that all classes sang in chapel. And the elementary school sang with enthusiasm. It was a little more challenging for us high school students. But we knew we should, because Pastor Wingard, if it didn't meet his approval, guess what? You were coming back next Friday, and you were going to sing again. So you quickly learned, let's put a little more gusto into our singing, even though we may be a little more self-conscious, because we're standing up in front of people. I don't know that I can do this. And we may still have that feeling somewhat as an adult. I don't know. You know, we don't like being up in front of people. But serving the Lord with singing, he tells us to serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Singing has always been an expression of our joy. And I trust that as believers, we have joy. We of all people should have joy. We've been saved. We've been delivered from the consequences, the guilt of our sin. I mean, our Christian living is much more than a fire insurance policy. I'm not going to hell now. Well, that is something to be joyful about, is it not? That by itself, let alone he's given us a new life in Christ, a life that is empowered by him, a life to be lived for him, so that anything about our salvation, about our Lord, should cause us great joy. And that joy should come then forth with singing, as he often tells us, to make a joyful noise. Thankfully, we know we don't have to be on key. Now, others may endure our singing in that regard, but we can sing nonetheless and lift our voices to him, whenever the case may be. As I've mentioned along the way, there's usually in my head a song. I wake up with one, a hymn. And it'll go on in my head through that day. I may pick up another one along the way if I'm listening to music, which I do a lot along the way. And another hymn may pick up. But there's almost always a hymn going in my head. I like that. The Word of God is there, expresses. So singing expresses our joy in the Lord. And that's why we have such beautiful hymns that we can come to know. They teach us a lot, of course, but they express the joy that we have. Psalm 95, verses 1 and 2, the psalmist notes, he says, "O come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto him with psalms." And again, he doesn't ask that, you know, well, I can't sing because I can't sing on key. He knows, make a joyful noise. Go ahead and lift your voice up. It's okay. You know, the rest of us will endure it. We'll get used to it. But I'd much rather hear you off key rejoicing with the hymns that we have, singing to the Lord, than not. Walking around like Eeyore, you know, gropey, mumbly. Nobody cares for me, all of this. That's not how we're to live as Christians. We've been delivered. We're saved. The joy of the Lord is our strength. It should echo from us. Later on in Psalm 98, he notes in verses 4 through 6, "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all the earth. Make a loud noise and rejoice and sing praise. Sing unto the Lord with the harp and the voice of a psalm. with trumpets and sound of cornet, make a joyful noise before the Lord, the King. The psalmists are echoing that because the psalms were the songs of the Jews. They lifted these up in song, rejoicing in their God, and we can do the same in our day. I realize a lot of the psalms we don't have put to modern music. I say modern music, not Hebrew music. But we do have some. And we have our hymns, which are based in the scriptures. James says it this way in chapter 5, verse 13. Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. We're happy in the Lord, and it should show forth. Again, I've mentioned anybody walking around Calvary Baptist Church back in those days. I say those days, the 70s, 80s, 90s, would hear Brother Vernon. He was whistling or he was singing a hymn. He was a joy to be around. Yes, he was my bus captain. He's the one that brought my family to Christ through that bus ministry. Dear friend, I look forward to that day when I'll be with him in heaven. But he always had that. You always knew Brother Vernon was around in the building. You could hear him whistling a hymn, or you could hear him singing one. And that's the way it should be with us. To lift up singing to the Lord, because we serve Him with gladness. It should cause us to then lift our voices to Him. And I realize we may not have all the hymns memorized. We may not know all the stanzas. Those hymns that go through my mind, it's typically one stanza. I don't know, may not remember the other verses that come along. Sometimes I do. And they'll be brought in. But just lifting those up and thanking the Lord. Because as we look at the hymns that we have, the rich history, as we've looked at those sometimes on some of our Singspirations, we've had some hymn history to go along with it. But typically the singing, the hymns are there to teach us great doctrinal truths that are there. That's why the hymn writers wrote them. It was an easy way, if you will, to teach biblical truth. I'll do it, but I don't like doing it. But those of us that are older that grew up watching TV, how many commercial ditties are stuck in your head? Now, I'm sorry to even say that because now they're going to start popping up. I'm not going to give any so that they don't start popping up specifically. But I'm being kind of generic with that. Hopefully, they won't come into our minds and we can stay focused on the Word of God. But, you know, we haven't heard some of those TV commercials for decades. But we could sing them to you. They're still here, and they can still come to mind. Why? Because there's something about singing that helps retain things. There's something about music that is, yes, that powerful. And so we need to be careful with our music because it does stay around. I mean, who would have thought as a 7-year-old, 8-year-old, 9-year-old, 10-year-old, watching some TV commercial that I could still retain those words? Now, 5-year-old coming up on 60 years since then. Oh man, that sounded hard. 6 decades since then. And yet, the drop of a hat, I could sing it, though I haven't heard it for decades. That's why it's helpful to sing our hymns, to, yes, put them to memory. God will get them in there, and they will come back. We can hide God's word in our heart, and it will come back. And so these things teach us. The biblical singing is not merely emotional expression, although there is emotion to it. It is a means of mutual instruction and spiritual formation. We sing some of these hymns. Sometimes they're, yes, pointed towards God in our worship of Him and lifting, acknowledging who He is and what He is doing. Some of our hymns are here to encourage one another. And the wording is such that we're singing it to be an encouragement to each other as we live for the Lord in this life that He has given to us. Colossians chapter 3, corollary, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18 through 19, 18 through 20 as well. But he says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. God understands the power of music and how it can be used to help us, yes, dwell richly in all wisdom, to bring those truths and draw them deep in our hearts. That's the way Paul expressed it in Colossians. He expands it more in Ephesians in chapter 5, verse 18 through 20, when he says, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so again, expressing that we can lift up our hearts to Him, singing psalms and spiritual songs and hymns, and teaching ourselves God's great truths. Singing prepares the heart for obedient service because our praise reorients the servant's focus from burden to blessing, from self to God, from fear to faith. I mean, stop to think what those hymns that we sing do to us. I mean, not just the emotional hype, and we shouldn't have emotional hype in that regard, but it does lighten our hearts, does it not? Lifts our hearts when we sing certain hymns that really touch us. We're encouraged. But it does reorient us, just like the Word of God does, to draw our focus on where it needs to be, our God. Our adversary knows it is so easy to distract us. We've heard about that this week. The distractions, the things that can so easily draw us away. And like he noted with the one picture of the from a particular movie, squirrel, and we're distracted. We move off with something else. Satan is great at doing that. And God's greater at bringing our attention back where it needs to be. And our songs help draw us back to that, keeping us focused on our God and who He is and what He has done for us, what He is doing, and what He will do, what He's preparing. And our singing helps bring that about and reminds us of, yes, our obedient service to Him. We're to serve the Lord. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verses 20 and 21. An interesting account in the life of Israel. It says, and when he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord. 2 Chronicles 20, 21 and 22. He appointed singers unto the Lord that should praise the beauty of holiness as they went out before the army, and to say, praise the Lord, for His mercy endureth forever. And when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, which were come against Judah, and they were smitten. An interesting way of deliverance. And we see that all throughout the Old Testament. God uses some unusual opportunities to show himself faithful to his children, the Israelites, the apple of his eye, his chosen people. And we have those recorded for us. In this case, they have some singers going out with the army, praising the Lord. Their adversaries from around them, the Moabites, the Ammonites. Mount Seir refers to the Edomites, the descendants of Esau. They didn't like Israel. And all they did is sing. And God smites their enemies. We see God doing other things as they seek the Lord, and God takes care of their enemies. Their orientation is to the Lord, and God supplies. God meets our needs, whatever they are, whether it be the adversaries around us, whether it be our physical means, God supplies. Again, we see that recorded for us over and over again in the Old Testament of how God met and watched over them as they were obedient, serving the Lord as they ought. Notice in Acts chapter 16, verses 25 and 26, Paul and Silas had been falsely accused, tossed into prison, beaten without any questions. What a way to enter a town. Verse 25 of chapter 16, and at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises to God. And the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's bands were loosed. They sang praises to God. While they were in prison falsely, while they were beaten falsely, as Paul will let the Philippian jailer know in the morning, when the government officials send word, oh, you can release Paul, let him go. And Paul will remind them, wait a minute, time out, guys. I'm a Roman citizen. And you beat me last night unjustly. It's not so easy. God took care of them, met their needs, opened those prison doors. The Philippian jailer and his household come to know Christ. And we see how God works with our words. Notice Hebrews chapter 13, verses 15 and 16, as the writer of Hebrews is concluding his work. He says, by him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifices of praise to God continually. That is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. But to do good and communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. We have the opportunity to serve and serve it with singing, lifting up our voices to our God, living for him. We serve the Lord with thanksgiving, as he continues in verse 4. Thanksgiving reminds us that really service is a privilege. May we always remember it's God's work. He wants us to come alongside him. As he shows himself faithful on our behalf because of who he is. He doesn't need us. We tend to think sometimes too highly of ourselves, whether pastor or somebody else. You know, man, I'm something for God. Without me, boy, he would have a hard time. We think too highly of ourselves. No, that's not true. He got along without us before we were ever born. He'll get along without us after we pass from this life just fine. We serve him out of a heart of love. We serve with him because he's the one that's at work. And I trust we understand that. Because this psalm reminds us, it moves us from serving with gladness to entering his gates with thanksgiving, showing that gratitude fuels worshipful labor. Thank the Lord. I mean, I do thank the Lord that, yes, he brought me into the ministry, though, yes, we struggled. I tried bargaining with him for something else. And that didn't work out. But there is thanksgiving. I am so thankful that he did. To serve beside him, to watch him work and move in hearts. Some of the biggest blessings, the joy to see not only the lost come to Christ, but to watch Christians grow, to mature, to go on and serve the Lord. What a joy to be a part of that and realize, you know, it's not me, it's God. He's the one that works in our hearts. And we can thank him profusely, if you will, for what he has done as we serve him. The thanksgiving guards the servant's heart from complaint. We can grumble very quickly, can we not? At a drop of a hat. We see that in the Israelites. But we're reminded in the scriptures, that's not the way we live as believers. Philippians chapter 2, verses 14 through 16 notes, says, do all things without murmurings and disputings, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. Paul encouraging them, do all things without murmurings and disputings, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke, that ye shine as lights in the world. The world is dark. It needs the light of the Lord Jesus Christ, which he uses through us. He desires to rejoice in the day of Christ. We desire to rejoice one day, to thank the Lord for what he has done. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18, he notes, in everything, give thanks. What is everything? Everything. Is there anything left out in everything? Oh, everything means everything. In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. See the same thing recorded for us in Romans chapter 8, verse 28. Different wording, but touching on the same thing, if you will. For all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. What we may think as bad things, God may indeed intend them for good, as Joseph would remind his brothers. We can give thanks. We should give thanks in everything. Doesn't mean that we have to understand it. We may not. We may not in this life understand some of the circumstances that we go through. But we can give thanks, because we are seeing God's will for our lives unfold. And yes, we see examples of that in the Scriptures. Joseph. God reminds us in those events that always, in what we would see from a human standpoint, the low points, Moses, since he's the writer, is recording for us, and he says at those human low points, but God was with Joseph. Now, he was with Joseph at the other times too, but I think it's poignant to note he is sold off to the Ishmaelites to be a slave. His brothers hate him, but God was with him. He's falsely accused by Potiphar's wife, cast into prison under false charges. And it's noted, but God was with him. Job's life. We see the calamities happening, and he lifts his voice up and worships his God. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. God has a purpose that is unfolding. We can give him thanks. Thanksgiving rests in God's enduring character. As we note for this, as he closes out this psalm, he says, "For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generation." Jeremiah notes in Lamentation 3, verses 22 and 23, "It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness." When we stop to think and consider our God, indeed we do have much to thank him for. To serve him with gladness, to come before his presence with singing, to enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise, to be thankful unto him and bless his name. This should not be a hard exercise for us. It should come easily for us as his children. Because serving the Lord truly is a great blessing to us. It's not a chore. It's not a drudgery. It's not something to be endured. But it does bring joy. Singing, thanksgiving to the heart of the believer. So do we serve the Lord with gladness? Do we come before his presence with singing, lifting up our hearts, joyful because of who our God is and what he's doing in our lives? May he be our focus. And truly our hearts will be lifted up in joy as we see him at work amidst us, as we seek to serve him. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for thy word. We thank you for the truths that are here. Father, truly help us to be a joyful people. As we make you our focus, as yes, we glory, as we've noted from Galatians, to glory in the cross of our Savior who saved us. as we look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at thy right hand. Father, we thank you. Truly, we thank you. May we be a thankful people. Thankful for all that you not only have done in Christ, but what you are doing in Christ, and looking forward to what you will be doing in preparing us for heaven. Although there's no cause for us to be despondent, to be down, to grumble, to complain. For that just causes us to be focused on ourselves rather than on you. Help us to turn and set our affections on things above, where you are. Doesn't mean we live an escapist attitude. But Father, we realize that we are sojourners here. We are pilgrims in this world. We're just passing through. But in our passing, may thy light shine brightly through us. As we lift our hearts in thanksgiving and praise and worship and adoration in serving you, do it joyfully with singing. Challenge us. Stir us. Help us to keep you as our focus. Help us to not be sidetracked by those things around us that would quickly get us off of seeing you. Do a work in each of our hearts. May we go forth in your strength, Father. Apart from you, we could not do this. We are not strong enough. But with you, we can accomplish it. Help us to do so. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.